If you would turn your Bibles to Psalm chapter 122. I'm going to use this verse as a springboard tonight. I tell you, I'll get to it in a second. Psalm 122:1. If you're there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Amen. Let me read that again because I don't think you are getting it. I was glad. I was happy. I'm going to use the word excited. I was excited when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, I thank you so much for the day that you have blessed me with. I thank you for my beautiful family. Lord, I thank you for this wonderful, beautiful church that you planted here in the heart of the people that are here. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that as our church continues to grow in Fayetteville, Lord, that we can strive to be a church like this church. Lord, I pray that we can be a church that sends out missionaries like this work, Lord, and we can have flags all along our sanctuary, Lord, and just praise you for being in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Lord, I thank you for the opportunity to preach your wonderful gospel tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you just be with me, use me as a tool so that I can do exactly what you'd have me to do and say exactly what you'd have me to say. And I promise I'll praise you for it all. In Jesus' most precious, humble, wonderful, amazing name we pray. And all of God's children said,
amen.
How many of you like music? Raise your hand. Music? Amen. Oh, yeah. Now, I was saved at 18, and I tell you, I like some of the older music. Right? I like even some of the secular music I still have in my brain. I can't let it go. And there's a song that was in the 80s, and it goes like this. I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it. Y'all know that song? I'm so excited. Right? You just can't help but to love that song, you know? And that's the title of my message tonight is, I'm so excited. This message is completely different from the message that I came up here to preach this weekend, by the way. The message was all, you know, Acts 1:18 and how we need to go and do Great Commission, you know? And I kept thinking about your pastor, and your pastor kept saying, this is what he says all the time, I'm so excited for you to be up here. I'm so excited for you and Jenna to be able to come. I'm so excited, he kept saying it over and over and over and over. And I kept thinking about this morning and listen to Brian preach. I didn't come to the early service. I'm not a morning person. I'm an evening person, you know. So I was listening to him preach, and I was so excited about his message and getting to glean something that I've never heard before. You know, I've heard that message before, but it was always on the positive end and how these guys were preaching all over the place, but never thought about the fact that the only reason they were preaching is because God made them go do it. I'm telling you, I left here, I was pumped. I said, Brian, I told him at lunch, I said, you got to send me those notes. I told my wife, I said, don't be surprised at one of these Piedmont associations coming up in North Carolina that you're going to hear that message again. I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it. You know, we come into the Lord's house today to celebrate, amen. We come into the Lord's house today because we're excited. We're so honored that God would come be a part of our lives, and the God of the universe would come and dwell with us, our puny, unworthy people, to come and dwell with us as we worship Him. Where two or three gather together, there He is in the midst of us, right? He is here. I believe that He is here, the King of Kings, Lord of Lords. He's here, and I believe that should excite us. Amen? I mean, if Obama and Trump can sell out hotels and back up traffic, I think that church, because God is here, should do the same thing. Amen. We should be excited. And not only do I think we like it when we get excited, but I also think God will be pleased with it when we get excited. I remember a story of a little boy. He was turning around in his pew, and he was just smiling at everybody. You know how little kids are. Right, they stand up and they're just smiling at everybody. I mean, he wasn't tearing up the hymnals. He wasn't spitting or gurgling or humming or anything. He wasn't distracting anybody. He was just smiling at everybody. And his mom jerks him around and says, hey, we're in church. Smacks him on the leg, and a tear started rolling down his face. She goes, there, that's better. And she went back to praying. You know, David was excited about God. Amen. David was a man that was excited about God. He was a man that was excited to have the Spirit of God in him. This time, the day that the Ark of the Covenant came back into town, you know what he did? He celebrated. You know how he celebrated? He danced. Amen. He danced. I'm not a dancer, y'all, but I'm telling you, David danced, and he danced with all his might because he was that excited. I'm telling you, we need to be that excited, right? When your favorite sports team wins the game, nobody has to tell you how not to be excited, right? Right? You'll get up, you will make an utter fool out of yourself just to show your team spirit. But then you come into church and the song is sung and you do everything to withhold yourself and to just do everything you can not to move, right? I'll pick on the pastor some because he's fearless, right? You ever see him up here singing at the top of his lungs and he's the only one doing this while he's singing, right? You can't, nobody can tell him that you can't tell me that that boy is not excited about Jesus. Amen? Amen. We have reason to be excited today. It's like a woman who's talking about her transformation that had taken place in her life after her conversion. And she said, you know, I'm so glad I got religion. I used to have an uncle that I vowed that I would never go to his funeral. But I'm so happy now, I'd go to it anytime. You know, there's things happen when we get excited, y'all.
Amen, brother.
There are things in life that excites us, too. New things excite us, right? We're excited by new stuff. I'm excited by new stuff, right? I'm excited by all kinds of new things. New clothes. My wife buys me something new. The first thing I want to do is put it on and give her walk down the runway for her, be a model. Strut my stuff. She buys me a new suit. I do the whole taking the suit coat off, throw it over my shoulder. You know, being all GQ. Do y'all do that too? Ladies, when you get home, even though you tried the dress on in the store and it looked good, the first thing you do when you get home is you try it on and you walk in front of your husband, right? What do you think about this? New clothes excite us. We want to wear it to the next big thing. I've never had one, but new cars. I've had a new-to-me car. I've never had a new car. But new cars excite us too, don't they? We want everybody to be just excited about our new car as we are. You walk, you smell, you know, and it burns your nose, that new car smell. They even have little air fresheners that are supposed to be new car smell. You know, for the people like me who's actually never had a new car, had a new-to-me car, and you want to make it smell like a new car. You know, babies excite us. A baby walk, somebody carrying a baby coming to this church right now. Everybody would be off of me and onto the baby, goo-gooing on and let me hug the baby, let me kiss the baby, right? Right? Babies excite us. Let me tell you, I'm walking on clouds, y'all. I got a little baby boy coming. You can't tell me nothing. I'm excited. I might not be excited, you know, whenever he's 2 years old and he's tearing the sheetrock off the walls, but, you know, I'm excited now. You know, why do new things excite us? Because they're fresh. Yeah. New things excite us because they're untarnished. Yeah. When you think about our life, when we made our way to Christ, we were stained, we were dirty, we were abused by the sins of the world. And when God took us in, he didn't just apply Bondo to our dents. God didn't just put keels over our stains and our sins that the world and sin had left behind. He didn't just cover it up. The Bible says he washed them away. For 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a what?
New creature.
All things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. Colossians 3:10, and have put on a new man, right? Being new should excite us, right? We are a new person. We come to God dirty and wicked and unclean and bruised and ugly, and God washed all that away and made us a new man. And what other reason we got to be excited today other than that? Amen? We should be excited. We should be the most excited people on the face of the planet as children of God. Amen?
Yeah.
We're new. Everything in our life has been made new. You know what else excites us besides new things? Love excites us. Right, teenage boys? Ooh, love, right? Let me put in a little tidbit. The couples class, right? Mike, I know Mike because that's an easy name for me to remember. Mike, and starts with A, April. If you are a couple and you're not going to that class, let me tell you, that is probably the best Sunday school class I've ever sat in. It is amazing. They are amazing teachers. They are approachable. And if you are a couple and have never been in any kind of class where there's other couples, let me tell you, people understand what you're going through. Back to the message. We love that warm, fuzzy feeling of love, don't we? We love it. We love being watched over with being loved and being loved on. I'm not talking about puppy love, right? Puppy love is nice, but puppy love doesn't last. I'm talking about real love. I'm talking about real love that looks beyond our flaws. Real love that looks past our imperfections. Real love that loves us despite of all of our shortcomings, despite of all our bugs and warts and scars and baggage, right? When we get married, we say, till death do us part. That kind of love. The same kind of love that God showed on Calvary's cross, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. That's a love. That he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. That kind of love. The Romans chapter 5, verse 8 kind of love. But God commendeth his love toward us, and that even while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That kind of love. That kind of love should excite us. Amen. I tell my church all the time, whenever we finally build our building, we're going to have a place for an organ, and we're going to have a place for a big old choir. And while I'm preaching, there's going to be a choir. There's going to be a choir and an organist that are going to be playing and singing while I preach. And when I say something good, they're going to sing, and the organist is going to play. That excites me when I start thinking about that. And that would have been the place right there where the organ would play and the choir would sing. You know, we're so undeserving of God's love. In the middle of our vilest state, and though completely unworthy of his love, God loved us. And that should excite us. In a time when we were completely unlovable, God loved us. I mean, what other reason do we have today to be excited? You know, we have all the reason in the world to be excited. We have all the reason in the world to go shout from the rooftop the glorious good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the uttermost parts of the world. Love should excite us. You know what else excites us? Winning excites us. I've never met anybody who didn't like winning. You know, a lot of arguments go on in relationships just because the both of them like winning so much. I had a man say one time, when you're married, you can either be right or you can be happy, but you can't be both. Everybody loves to win. My papa used to say that second place is like kissing your sister, right? Ricky Bobby, Talladega Nights, he said either you're first or last, right? Everybody loves to win. When you win, there's a thrill about it. There's a thrill that fills your heart that is just unmatched, right? You have met a challenge. You have met an obstacle. You have met a battle face on, and you have come on the other side victorious. You are number one. You are the champions. You are the best. In our lives, though, in and of ourselves, we're not able to stand against the enemy. We're not strong enough. We're not wise enough to stand against the enemy, that old devil, that old serpent, that old dragon. We're not able to beat him by ourselves. The battle is too great for us in our own might, in our own strength, in our own mind. And that's the reason that we should shout. That's the reason we should get excited. You say, Pastor, Brother Mike, you're saying that we should get excited because the devil can beat us? No, we should get excited about Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. I can't win the battle, but Jesus already won the battle. Amen? Listen, if you have never won somebody to Christ, I'm going to go ahead and tell you that evangelism is the greatest drug on the face of the planet. When you win somebody to Christ and you say and you are able to lead them to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ and you Jesus is able to pull them from the depths of hell, that is a drug. There's not a drug around that can get you that high, folks. And once you get on it, you are addicted. Amen. That's the reason we should be excited. You say, Brother Mike, but life is hard. It's hard for me to be excited all the time. I mean, what purpose do I need to walk around being excited all the time? There's a couple things that happen when we get excited, folks. One of the things happen when we get excited is battles will not seem as hard. Just because you're excited, though, don't get confused and think just because you're excited about God doesn't mean that bad things aren't going to happen, right? Just because you're excited doesn't mean that attacks aren't going to come on your life. The devil is probably going to even hit you harder when you get excited about God. But the way you handle those battles is going to change. Back in Joshua, he sent 12 spies. Remember? He sent 12 spies to go take a look. Take a look at the land that God had already promised them, by the way. Go take a look at the land and come back and give a report. How many came back with a bad report? 10. 10 come back with a bad report and they said, man, there's giants in the land. There's the sons of Anak in the land. We don't know what we're going to do. We just need, you know, everybody hates me, nobody likes me, I'll go eat worms, right? They were just going to be content going where they were. But then you had Joshua and Caleb come back. They did not see the giants. They seen the giants. But what they seen the possibilities. And they were founded on the promises that God had already told them. Listen, God says, that's your land. Just go and get it. Amen. It's all on how you look at it. If you get excited about God, your battles, the way you deal with your battles are going to be completely different. When you get excited about God, gloom, depression, fear, doubt will all find its hard way to bring you down. I'm not saying you're not going to find a bad day. I'm not saying that you're not going to be depressed sometimes. I'm not saying that you're not going to find yourself down in the valley. We're not in heaven yet, right? Moses had his bad days. Moses had his days of anger and frustration. I mean, he's the only man to break all 10 commandments at one time. Some of you will get that later. For right now, don't think on it too hard. Just take it, put it in your pocket. Afterwards, when you get it, you can text me. I'll laugh with you. Elijah had his juniper tree. Jeremiah had his days he wanted to quit. Nehemiah said in 8:10, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. I would say the excitement of the Lord is your strength. And with excitement, you can face those battles and those bad days with an attitude of excitement to know that God has got you. He's already won the victory. He's already won the battle. And you already know what the outcome is going to be. Romans 8:28 is my favorite verse in the entire Bible. If you don't have a favorite verse and you go through hard times, write it down. Romans 8:28. I go there every day just to make sure it's still there and I wasn't dreaming the day before. Listen to what the Bible says, Romans 8:28. And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. All things will work together for good. It's going to work together for good, either in this life or the next, but God will get the glory and it will work together for good. That should excite us. Doesn't matter what kind of hard time we go through. As a missionary, I go through hard times. I have people yell and cuss and tell me that I'm doing a dumb thing or Satan tries to get me down. I was telling your pastor a couple Sundays ago, you know, I got all of my feelings because things weren't going the way that I thought. And then Romans 8:28 popped right there. All things work together for good. Another one of my favorite verses, Genesis 50:20. Joseph, after being reunited with his family, said, for they meant it evil against me, but God worked it unto good. The devil, Satan, meant it evil, but God still took the evil and worked it unto something good. And that should excite us, folks. Something else should excite us. Actually, what happens when we get excited is other people are going to be drawn to what we have. They want to know what it is, what's different about us, right? And this is what Christ meant when he told us, let your light shine before men. Because when you're happy, other people are going to be drawn to your happiness. They're going to be drawn to you like a bug to a bug zapper. There's a Sunday school teacher that was questioning her kids on the omnipotence of God. And she says, now children, is there anything that God can't do? The pastor's son raised his hand. So she looked at him. She goes, now you tell me, what is this thing that God can't do? The pastor's son said, well, I heard my dad say yesterday that even God can't make everybody in this church happy. You know, when you get excited, it spreads and it grows, and everybody wants to be around you, and everybody wants to know what it is that you have. You become a contagious Christian, right? You become contagious. Even Purell won't get rid of it. Amen? Amen. You know, nobody wants to be your old sour-faced person that looked like they've been sucking on persimmons all day long. Woe is me, with your knuckles dragging the ground, talking about how bad life is. Listen, we have Jesus Christ who lives in our life that has changed us into a new person, right? Eternity started the time when we got saved. We get an opportunity to worship him and serve him and love him and to be loved by him. And he says, you know what I'm going to do? Is I'm going to create a place where a lot of people that are going to be just like you, that think like you, that believe like you, that want to worship me, can get together and you can encourage each other and edify each other and educate each other until I call you home. Right? Doesn't that sound good? Wouldn't it be great if God created a place like that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen?
Come on. Amen.
And that's when in Hebrews 10:25, not forsaking the assembly of ourselves together as a matter of some is. When it comes time for us to be in church, we are not supposed to not be here because we're supposed to strengthen each other. We should be excited about the God that we worship. You know, people want to be around other people that are full of joy. Who wants to be around a doctor that is, if you're going into surgery, do you want your surgeon to be depressed? How many of you want a coach to have a defeated spirit? I don't know, we might not win this one either. How about a lawyer with a pessimistic outlook? You want to support a missionary that's depressed and defeated and pessimistic? Listen, if what you have from God does not lift your spirits, if what you have from God does not excite you, does not want to get you to celebrate and dance in the street and just clap and be excited about the God that you serve and the Jesus that lives within you, I don't know what you have.
Amen.
Amen. The Bible says that we're supposed to get excited. The Bible says the Holy Spirit gets us excited.
Yeah.
I just want to celebrate another day of living. There's another song.
Yeah.
I just want to celebrate another day of living in the Lord. Also, whenever you get excited, you just have to tell somebody. There was a Sunday school teacher telling her class about heaven, and she spoke about the happiness that was there, and there's going to be no more pain and no more sorrow. And she's asked, well, who wants to go there? And everybody but one little boy raised his hand. And she said, Robbie, don't you want to go to heaven? And he says, ma'am, yes, ma'am, I do, but I thought you were trying to make up a group to go right now. You remember when you were saved and you were so excited you just had to tell folks? You ready to chase hell with a water pistol? Child of God, where's that fire out now? Where's that fire? Where's that passion? Where's that excitement to tell people about the Jesus that lives within you? Turn to 107.2, Psalm 107.2. I want you to read this with me, right? Look at it as I read it. Psalm 107.2. I want you to see this for yourself. I don't want to just read it. I want you to see it. Psalm 107.2 says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. If you're redeemed, say amen.
Amen.
Amen. So this applies to you. If God has delivered you, you ought to say something. Amen. If God has blessed you in your life, if he has blessed you in your work, if he's blessed you in your family, if he's blessed you in anything, the Bible says we're supposed to say something. Amen. We're supposed to tell people. If he saved your soul, you ought to say something. If he has done anything in your life, everything we do should bring honor and glory to his name. And telling other people is going to excite other people. And excited other people are going to tell other people. And there's going to be this multiplication that happens. And there's going to be all these people that come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, which then is going to bring even more excitement to people. Amen? Whew. Could you imagine on the day of Pentecost when those 3,000 souls were saved that day?
Yeah, come on.
How excited Peter would have been? He would have been a wore-out rascal at the end of the day by baptizing 3,000. But I guarantee you he was excited. You know, tonight, the whole purpose of this message, I wanted to encourage not only myself. I felt like Jesus, God has encouraged me preparing for this message, but I think God wanted me to encourage you all and let you know that we need to be excited about what God's doing. You know, all these flags that are on the walls, you should be excited. When y'all have mission, March for Missions, is that what it's called? March for missions. Y'all should be excited. How exciting is it to FaceTime some guy in Lithuania or Romania or Korea and see the work that God is doing there? Yeah. To see the work that God is doing in Fayetteville, North Carolina? I mean, don't we have a reason to be happy? Don't we have a reason to celebrate God? He loves us. He made us new. And through him, we can win every time. Listen, folks, I read the end of the book. Just in case you haven't read the end of the Bible, I'm going to go ahead and tell you, we already won. Don't worry about it. We've already won. Satan is trying to win the battle. We've already won the war. It's over. Jesus comes back, and he takes that old devil and goes, you're dead. And it's over. We win. It's done. Let me tell you, before that happens, though, Jesus already could call me home in rapture. Amen. I mean, think about the attitude of joy and excitement in our spirits. We should see it in our churches. And when I see it in our churches, then we're going to see it in our families. We're going to see it in our communities. We're going to see it in our nation. And all of us are going to start to grow. It's going to be contagious. We're not going to be able to stop it. We need to never forget Ephesians 3:20, which is another verse that if you don't have a favorite, this is a good one to go to. The Bible says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above. This is like super, super duper awesome, right? That's what Paul's saying. Exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. God is able to do all that, and he wants to do it through us. But do you think he wants to do it through a bunch of sour-faced, sad, depressed, fearful people walking around, looking down at the ground, and not walking around with our proper royal garments? The Bible says that we are a peculiar people, a holy nation, right? We are a royal priesthood. How many of us walk around like we are royalty? I'll tell you, I'm a king's kid, folks. I'm a king's kid. God doesn't have grandkids. He only has kids. And I'm a king's kid. Jesus is my brother. And all the good that he did, he imputed all that righteousness on me. Whew, that should excite us. Amen. You know why I'm excited tonight? I'm excited because I have that power. I'm also excited because that even though things don't go all the way like I like them to go in Fayetteville, North Carolina, even though Fayetteville First Heritage Baptist Church isn't growing like I want it to grow, you know, our churches, pastor, the churches that we pastor don't grow like we want them to grow, right? And even though everything doesn't work out just like I want it to go, I tell you what excites me is to know that there is a church in the D.C. area that has partnered with us and is praying for us and calling us and emailing us and supporting us every step of the way. I pray tonight, the purpose of this message, I pray that tonight that you, in hearing this message, in hearing what God is doing 5 hours away in Fayetteville, North Carolina, has excited you. I pray that hearing this message tonight has just reminded you of what God has done in your life to excite you about what you can do in your family and in your workplace and in your community and in this church. I'm also excited, and I think that we all need to be a little bit more excited. And I think that I'm so excited, and I just can't hide it. And I think I'm about to lose control, and I think I like it, and I think I need y'all to come partner along with me. Amen. Amen. We've got a reason to celebrate tonight, and I thank y'all so much for partnering with us and praying with us and be exciting with us. And what God is doing in Fayetteville, North Carolina. And I'm telling you, I hear reports about what your pastor is doing. Reports from your pastor about what y'all are doing here. And it excites me in this area to hear people being saved and baptized. To sit in y'all Sunday school room and to see what's going on in y'all Sunday school room. And then to get ideas and want to be excited and take it back to Fayetteville. And try to implement those things down there. I was talking to the young lady that was at the front. And I was looking at y'all's little visitor packets. You know, and the things that y'all give them whenever they turn. I mean, I'm excited about those things. I'm excited to take those ideas back in order to win people to Christ. Amen. And next time I have the opportunity to tell somebody about Jesus and they accept Christ as their Savior, I'm going to send your pastor a text message. And what I want him to do is I want him to say, We should be so excited where we just can't hide it. And we need to lose control, and I think we're going to like it because God just rescued another soul from the depths of hell in Fayetteville, North Carolina.
Amen.
Love you. Thank you. Everybody stand. I'm going to ask your pastor to come.
Everybody stand with their heads bowed, their eyes closed. How long has it been tonight since you've been excited? How long has it been since you felt that fresh touch of the Lord Jesus Christ in your Bible reading and in your prayer time? How long has it been since you just spent time with the Lord and you could feel His presence? Won't you come tonight, spend a moment at the altar and pray? Maybe you know a soul that needs to be saved. Somebody you work with, somebody in your house, somebody in your family, somebody, an old friend that needs you to pray for them. It's time you and I get excited. Somebody got excited about seeing you saved. Won't you use the altar tonight? As Mrs. Mix plays, our Father and our God, speak to our hearts tonight. Strengthen us tonight. God, stir within us a burden that cannot be met through entertainment or sleep or eating, but God, that we would be burdened for the souls of those that we know who don't know you. God, please, use us as only you can in Jesus' name. Amen. As she plays, won't you use the altar tonight?
Bowing here, I find my rest. And without you, I fall.
If you died tonight, are you 100% sure you're going to wake up in glory?
That guides my heart.
I don't know what words you want to use. Are you saved? You might say, well, yes, I am. Okay, when did you get saved? When did that happen? How did that happen? What is it your faith and trust is actually in? Oh, my trust is in Jesus. When did that happen? When did you cling to Christ? When did you receive Him as your Savior? Do you remember? You may not remember the date or the time, but can you go back in your mind and remember when you called upon Him and confessed that you were a sinner and asked Him to save you?
You remember? Lord, I am free.
I remember. I remember how excited I got. I couldn't help but call people. We can't let that die. We've got to ask the Lord to stir us again. Stir us from our complacency. Our Father and our God, we are so thankful to be in their house tonight. Thank you for the message and the messenger. We have so much, Father, to be excited about that the world knows nothing of. And Father, it is our job, our duty by you, given to us by you, to tell them. Father, for it's for them too, not just us. Thank you that somebody brought it to us. Now, Father, let us take it to them. Bless us tonight as we fellowship a bit. And before we go our separate ways, God, let us be mindful to encourage one another. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you, may I look this way. I want to